getting a divorce, even thinking about getting a divorce, can be overwhelming, scary, and sometimes exciting. Join divorce coach and mediator Mandy Walker for conversations about divorce. The more you know, the easier it will be to make your divorce healthier, less stressful, and to put it behind you. Here's Mandy.
Welcome to Conversations About Divorce. I'm Mandy Walker, and today we're talking about how to tell if your spouse is lying to you. Now, I've met people who have sworn to me that their spouse would never lie to them, that they're completely trustworthy, and if that's what they say their marital assets are, then that's what the marital assets are, no question. I've also met people who are convinced that whatever their spouse is saying, they're lying. They're convinced that there are more assets than have been disclosed, or convinced there's a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And while they may be certain that there's lying going on, they struggle to identify what are the lies and what are the truths. I've also talked to people who've come to the realization that everything out of their spouse's mouth is a lie, and that no matter what, they will likely never know the truth. And the challenge is then accepting that. Where do you think your spouse fits in? Would you like to know if your suspicions are true? Are you ready to accept that your spouse might be lying to you? How can you tell? Well, joining me today is body language expert Tracy Brown, who you may have seen on TV analyzing whether people like Lance Armstrong, Hillary Clinton, Tonya Harding, and Tom Brady are telling the truth or spinning us along. Welcome, Tracy.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to get to chat with you.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this. And this is a little bit of a different context than what we've seen you do on your TV analysis. So this is all connected with divorce and finding out if your spouses are lying to you. So I had a question to ask you about first step in detecting lies. And that I thought had to be that, first of all, you have to be open to the possibility that your soon-to-be ex is lying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everybody wants to believe that they're hearing the truth. And especially when you're so close to the person who may be lying, it gets even harder. The number one rule in detecting lies is to take emotion out of it and ask yourself, hey, am I wanting to hear one thing or the other here? And when you do that, you're going to be more accurate in finding the truth.
Right. So, but that's kind of like a really difficult thing to do, especially, you know, if you've been married for 20, 40 years and you've never
it's really hard telling
you the truth, then it's
it can be soul crushing. It really can. But I mean, you've been in my talk, because mostly what I do is keynote speeches, and people get upset with me about whether Tom Brady was guilty in Deflategate or not. I mean, and imagine years and years and years. I mean, I'm sure people listening can, and you have to take emotion out of it and just stick to the empirical data, and you will be much more accurate in finding out if their pants are on fire or not.
Okay. So now, general question. Is it easier to catch someone lying when you're face to face with them than, say, when you're communicating via email?
Yeah, email is really, really hard. Because email is hard for any kind of communication. Everybody's been in those situations where you send someone an email and you think everything's good, and then they get really upset, or you have a conversation that should be had live over email, because so much gets lost in that. And so really, I think for our purposes today, we need to focus on face-to-face, or at least over the phone communication,
right,
so that we can actually start to judge some of the things that you need to in order to tell who's lying.
Okay. All right. So, and then I mentioned in my intro about one client in particular, I'm thinking about, whose client husband told us so many lies that by the time they were divorced, she had no idea what was true and what was a lie. and she knew that there were things that she probably would never get a good answer through. And I thought, you know, at times going through her process, she thought that she was the crazy person. So the and he, you know, she'd confront her husband and he'd deny it and tell her that she must be mistaken. And so she ended up sort of self-doubting herself and thinking, well, I guess I must be wrong. I mean, I must be losing my mind or something. So, I think that that's what other people call gaslighting. How do you protect yourself from that if you're opening yourself up to the possibility that your soon-to-be ex might be lying to you?
Right. Well, it could be gaslighting. And, well, you know the story behind gaslighting, right, just for people who don't know. I believe there was a situation somewhere way back in the past where there was actually gas lights in, I don't know if it was in a house or in an establishment or how it worked, but one of the couple every day would just turn the light down just a bit and tell the other person that, no, in fact, the lights were the same as they were yesterday. And after a while, it's really dark in the house and the other person was believing that it was the same as when the lights were at full tilt. So it's basically gradually starting to change someone's perception without them really knowing it. And so whether it's gaslighting intentionally or just flat out lying, I mean, lies in relationships come in all different forms. And some lies are to make you feel better, right? Like my husband, the other day we went to the store and he doesn't like that rotisserie chicken. He doesn't like it because he doesn't think he gets enough return for his investment in time of getting the chicken off the bone for the amount of chicken that he gets. Right. This is what he thinks. And so, you know, if I ask him, hey, you know, you just want chicken tonight, we're really hungry. And he'll say, yeah, he'll shake his head no. Like, I know for sure he's lying, right? Because I know for one, he doesn't like chicken. And for two, when the body language and the words don't match, that's when you can have a liar on your hands. Now, as far as bigger lies go, they do happen over time. But here's what you got to get is that about 15% of people are actually on the scale of somewhere between sociopaths and psychopaths. And a lot of these people end up in the criminal justice system, but a lot of them are really high functioning and totally put together. And so they actually may not show the signs.
And it might be really difficult for you to tell if those, because they have no guilt, no compunction, no remorse, no regret.
Yeah.
They're just extremely skilled at it.
Yeah. Well, it's not even being skilled. They're not trying. It's just the way they're wired, right? So those are the most dangerous ones. And so sometimes you're not gonna pick it up, right? But here's the thing. If you live with someone for 20 years or what have you, you need to pay attention because we get so used to each other that we quit paying attention, right? Which is one of the things that leads to divorce. And so, yeah, you do need to start paying attention. And if you got a hunch, you need to follow the hunch and believe that because there's something there. We have been hardwired over the years to detect lies. It's been part of our survival. Can we trust the other person? And without that, we just wouldn't survive as a species. And so it's really important to pay attention. And you know this from my talks, you either pay attention or you pay with pain.
So Tracy, in your book, you talk about different kinds of lies and you mentioned five different kinds: exaggeration, fabrication, minimization, omission, and denial. But really, a lie is a lie. Does it matter what kind of lie it is?
No, it doesn't. But those are places to look, right?
Okay.
And so what you got to understand is that people will conceal before they will fabricate.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Because it takes less effort to conceal than make up something new.
Okay.
And so, but you got to say, oh, you know, some people are like, oh, it wasn't really a lie. He just didn't tell me. Yeah, it was a lie. It was a lie. He didn't tell you something important that you needed to know that maybe you asked about directly, right? Yes, it's a lie. Okay. So lying by omission is a lie.
Right. So I had when I was thinking about this, I was thinking it might point to being extremely careful in how you word your question. I had a client who asked her husband if they had any bank accounts in England. And he said no. And at the end of the day, that absolutely wasn't true. It turned out that he'd bought a business in England and that the business had at least two banking accounts there. So now technically, they didn't have any accounts in England because her name wasn't on the account. But the account was in the name of the business. So I was thinking maybe, you know, you have to, in those sort of things, it's like gives the person a way of answering the question without them thinking that they're telling a lie. They think they're still telling the truth, but they're not really being transparent.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is where you have to become like an investigator and say, do you have any financial interests in the UK?
Right.
And that is a whole different question. Right. And then you may actually be able to detect some deception that way.
Right. So be careful how you word questions.
Exactly. Yeah. And so when FBI type investigators get into interrogating someone, there's four places to look at people. And that's as you ask the question, while they're thinking about answering, while they're answering, and then after they answer, right? So you have all these and it sounds silly to say, but remember, you got to pay attention to the details, and that's where you can start to find the truth, right? Because what you want to do is start to look for differences in their response, right? And here's the thing. Husbands and wives can often tell when each other are lying because they know each other's responses so well. And so what you want to do is look for the differences in their response to a very pointed question as their response would be like, hey, what's our address? Right. They should look the same. They should look the same. And they, if they're telling the truth, they will. But if they're lying, they may very well not.
So is that what you call getting a baseline for somebody?
Yeah. The baseline would be how they normally answer, right? And then when you see the shift, that's if there is one. That's when you go, okay, wait a minute. There's a hot spot there. And for everything other than yes or no questions, you really need about three hot spots to tell if someone's lying. There's no one move for everyone that says, yep, they're lying, right?
Okay.
And so you want to look for those differences, and there'll be three in a very short sentence that typically shows up when someone's lying to you.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to come back to more of those in a moment, but first we're going to take a short break. Listeners, I'm Mandy Walker. This is Conversations About Divorce, and today we're talking about how to tell if your spouse is lying to you. My guest today is body language expert Tracy Brown. Tracy is the author of How to Detect Lies, Fraud, and Identity Theft. Tracy, you have a fascinating start in this body language business. I wondered if you would share that with our listeners.
Yeah, I'll tell you the short story, and that is that I became a de facto body language expert when I was racing bikes and like Tour de France style road bicycles. And I needed to find a way to keep up. And I would start to read people's body language to start to understand what they were doing next, what was likely to happen next. And I would start to respond to that maybe a split second before they did whatever they were going to do. And that's when I started to win. And some of those people that I was trying to keep up with were guys you might have heard of, like Lance Armstrong, people
yeah.
like that, when I was growing up down in Dallas. But watching people very closely really served me in that realm. And I became a hypnotist. I started working with people who will come into a therapeutic session and lie to you because they don't, the truth is uncomfortable. However, it's something that, that I need to know in order to help get, to get them to the other side of it. So, I got really good in a clinical setting, and I just expanded that to where I started training with the, FBI and police and Green Berets and using their same interrogation techniques to help people in banking and finance. And now, people looking at divorce,
yes,
detect lies. Yeah.
Well, that's a fascinating career path. Tracy, share with our listeners how they can get a copy of your book.
Oh, so my book is available on Amazon, and it's How to Detect Lies, Fraud, and Identity Theft. And you can also get that on my website, which is bodylanguagetrainer.com. That's bodylanguagetrainer.com. And when you go there, there's free videos, and you can actually sign up for my monthly email newsletter, and that's where we'll talk about some aspect of deception and how you can detect it, and whether it's something big in the news, like lately we've had O.J. Simpson and Tanya Harding and even Trump, like he, yes, him and his hooker friends have been in the news lately. I don't know, that might be a little extreme to call them that. They're in show business, I guess. Decoding and deconstructing all of that to say, okay, what do we see here? And let's let you use this in your daily life. Because when people lie to you, you know, a lot of times you're not going to suspect it. And you do need to learn to pull the truth out of the middle, pull lies out of the middle of what can be sometimes a lot of truth.
Right.
So
right.
It's harder to do than it is to teach. It takes time watching folks and being able to interpret what's going on.
Well, and the advantage that I've had looking at your newsletters and the material that you share is that there's videos, and so you can go over the videos and you can see what you're talking about. Well, of course, when you're standing in the kitchen with your spouse, they might be a little bit more suspicious if you started to videotape their answers.
Well, they would, and all you have to do to get the truth out of people is get a copy of my book and set it on the kitchen table or in a stack of stuff that's just around, because a lot of, and this is true, because a lot of times just people knowing that you are have a leg up in finding the truth will cause them to admit a lot of things, and that's more than half the reason that polygraph tests work.
Wow. So, I want to jump back to something that you said earlier, and I think I'd like us to talk a little bit about some of the dead giveaways that somebody's lying, and some of the would be what you would call hot spots to watch out for.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, you mentioned the watching out for when someone says yes but is shaking their head.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're saying yes with their head, and yes with their words, but they're their head shakes left to right, just like you say no. That's a big one. And for yes or no questions, that's really accurate. You do need more hotspots than that to for longer answers. And a lot of times, people will answer something very positively and shake their head no, but you can tell from their tone, but they're saying, wow, I can't believe it. Like, it's unbelievable how great this could be. Right. And so you'll see that. So there's a little art to it and there's a little science. Let's see. Other things that people may do is, when their lips disappear,
yes,
their lips will fold in over their teeth, or they'll cover their mouth. Maybe they'll cover, some of their throat area with their hands. The next thing out of their mouth is somewhere between a half truth and a lie many, many times. So those are two really easy ones to start to look for.
Okay.
In order to indicate deception. But, you know, you're also going to look for things like just general shifts. Do they go from very fidgety to very still, or very still to very fidgety? Do they all of a sudden their eye blink rate change? Do they scoot back from you, scoot away from you? Does the volume of their voice change? There's a lot of shifts that can start to happen. Maybe they all of a sudden start to tap their finger at a at a certain point. Maybe they'll look down in one way or look down and look the other way. And so what you're looking for, that's why you got to baseline people. You got to look for the shifts. And these are some of the things that I talk about in my book.
So if it, does somebody have this, follow the same mannerisms when they're lying? Like, would I, the mannerisms that I show be different than you show? And, but I'm consistent when I'm lying, I'm usually doing this.
Let's see. Everybody is going to be a little bit different. Everybody's unique. So you need a baseline each individual. And, that's when you're going to start to find the truth. So a lot of these things that, you know, you see these eye pattern charts for NLP and things like that, the scientific accuracy of that is pretty low and, it for everyone, right? So it may be true for some people, but it might not be true for everyone. And so that's when you're going to get into trouble by going by absolutes of in a chart. Right. So that's why you want to look for the shifts.
Okay. Another one, one more before we move on to some other questions I have, but you talk in your book about duper's delight. And I like that phrase that you came up with. I wondered if you'd share that with our listeners.
Yeah, now I can't take credit for the phrase, but I can take credit for using it and pointing it out. And so sometimes you'll ask people a very incriminating question. And we see this with, if you look back at some Tonya Harding video, at Tom Brady with Deflategate, did you do this? And they'll smile really big and then they'll shake their head yes and they'll say no. And so there's no reason to smile on a very incriminating question like that. And it happens because they think they're getting away with it. They're having a little bit of fun.
Right.
And so it's deeply unconscious. It's not anything they would pick to do, but it's a dead giveaway.
Wow. So let's say you've discovered some lies or things that you're pretty certain are lies. How do you go about getting the truth?
That's the hard part. And that's where some of the skilled investigators even struggle. A lot of times what you can do, I mean, it's with the police, when they are in a interrogation, they can last 6, 8, 12 hours. And over time, what happens is people will start to break down. And if it's with a spouse, you know, you're not going to sit them down for 6 or 8 hours because they're going to leave. You can ask the same question several times and notice how their answer shifts. You can also say things like, seems like you got more to say about that. Why don't you let me know? Right. And the more you can ask very pointed questions, the better you're going to do, instead of just asking general questions like, do we have any bank accounts in England?
Right.
You can ask a more specific question than that, right? Which is, do you have any financial interest in England?
Right.
Lies are not connected to emotion. They're not connected to time. And so we have to fabricate all that. And so what you can do is effectively ask them to tell the story backwards, that wives' tale that you kind of hear, it's actually true. And but you don't say, hey, tell the story backwards. You say, hey, what happened before that? And they tell you, okay, great. What happened before that? And there will be gaps in time that you need to get them to fill. And there's where you may detect more deception as well, because it's in filling those gaps that we get into cognitive overload, and it's more than the brain can handle to answer all these questions. And so the body language again breaks down, and they'll get in a deeper and deeper spiral just by doing that.
Does it ever help? Is it ever productive to just say, well, I know you're lying to me?
That can happen. Yeah, that can be great. I'm trying to think, because a lot of times that can be just saying that can be enough to get them to say something that you need them to say. Or, you know, maybe you need a little more evidence, right? People's phones are filled with evidence these days. And getting someone to tail them can be great. I just saw someone who tracked their boyfriend on Strava, that app, because he was a big triathlete. So she knew who he was with all the time and where he was going. And that was their telltale, right? So there's all sorts of fun technological ways to track people these days.
Right. So, and I think one of the other suggestions you had in your book was to ask questions in small chunks. And I wondered,
absolutely.
What does that mean and how does that help?
Well, the small chunks are important because you want to ask a question about one thing at a time, right? Just one thing at a time. And like if you can say, hey, did you go to the liquor store and this person's house last night, right? It's too big of a question. You want to ask one thing at once. So did you go to the liquor store?
Right.
Make them answer you. It's not a rhetorical question. Like, get an answer. Did you go to this person's house? Yes. And so you gotta shrink your questions as much as possible. You're gonna get more accuracy in the response that you see from them.
Okay. So let's say we've turned into a really great investigator. We know what the lies are. So the question then is, what do you do with that once you've got it? I'm thinking.
Got it. So the idea, well, here's the thing. Every situation is different. I am far from a divorce expert. I hope I never turn into one. We just got married about 3 years ago. And so I would flip that question back to you and say, what is the next step? Do you go to the lawyer and show proof of infidelity or whatever you're proving? That's situation by situation.
Right. So, yes, I was thinking that with what I called emotional lies, such as infidelity, that might be a case of more of working through that with a therapist than through the legal system, unless you can prove there's some significant waste of marital assets. But I think in some cases, if you find out, I did have a case that actually the same person who was lying about his bank accounts in England had on his in disclosures had two Wells Fargo bank accounts, which he claimed were set up without his knowledge and over which he had no control. He said that they were part of the Wells Fargo scam. Well, when we went through his bank accounts from bank statements from other accounts, we were able to prove that he'd made numerous transactions to and from those accounts. And so they were definitely in his control. And we did use that in a hearing, and the judge took into consideration that he'd not provided, not only had he not provided disclosure for those accounts, but that he had, in sworn testimony to the court, said that he had no control over those accounts. And it did make, I do believe that played into a difference as to how the court decided on the division of marital assets. So I think, in some cases when you do discover the lie, you tell your attorney and be guided by your attorney's advice on how best to handle that.
Well, exactly. And these days with recording information and things like that, it's often best to know more than you let on. And so you can get them pretty deep in a lie and use that information when you need to, just by not telling them that you know they're lying.
Right, right. Wow. Tracy, this is wonderful. Do you have one more tip for our listeners?
The biggest tip, I don't think I need to give any more tips, but I need to hammer this point home.
Okay.
And that is to pay attention. Everything you need is typically right in front of you. And ask yourself if you're wanting to see it or not, because that can be the difference between finding the truth and letting these lies linger.
Right. Thank you so much, Tracy, for joining us today.
Oh, this has been fun. I'm sorry about all the divorce topics, but you're just delightful.
I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge and expertise. And I hope, I know from a personal standpoint, I'm hoping this will help me better help my clients.
Oh, absolutely. There's no way it can't.
So Listeners, today we've been talking about how to tell if your spouse is lying to you. And my guest is body language expert Tracy Brown. Tracy is the author of How to Detect Lies, Fraud, and Identity Theft, which is available on her website, bodylanguagetrainer.com, and on Amazon. So, and do visit her website. She's got some great videos there which will help you identify some of these hot spots for when your spouse is lying to you. And I would just echo what Tracy had said about reinforcing a point here is that, and we talked at the beginning of the show, that the first step in all of this is to be open to the possibility that your spouse may not be telling you the truth. Once you allow for that possibility, then I think that you will start to see inconsistencies in what you're being told. And then remember what Tracy also reinforced was, don't ever jump to a conclusion based on just one sign. Follow that golden rule will help protect you from going on a wild goose chase, hunting for something that may not be there, and spending a ton of money in the process. On the other hand, if you're seeing multiple indicators that your soon-to-be ex isn't telling you the whole truth, then you're going to want to make a decision as to whether to pursue that and how far to pursue it. And if it's a financial matter, then carefully evaluating that is key. After all, this is your financial future that is at stake. Thank you for listening. Remember, you can get a synopsis of the show at my blog, Since My Divorce. I'm Mandy Walker, and I hope you'll join us next time for more conversations about divorce.